May 9th, your Senate Committee on Rules. We're going to move into work session on a couple of executive appointments we did last week. And then I know we have a number of folks here for public hearing, and we're actually waiting for Senator Decker to come down and introduce one of the appointees. Work session on State Board of Chiropractic Examiners. The chair would move Joyce McClure, Estelle Parker-Kent, and Michael Vissers to the State Board of Chiropractic Examiners. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing and seeing done. It's so ordered. Who would like to carry? Senator Shields, since that's up your alley.
Yeah, except that I was the only one here to interview the
board.
The next
I'll let you. Okay, all right. Well, we'll spread it out a little bit. Senator Ringo, would you be willing to carry the Board of Chiropractic Examiners? Okay.
Oh, I think so.
Thank you very much for your cooperation. Work session on the Board of Examiners of Nursing Home Administrators. The chair would move Jim Bagley, Margaret Clark, Larry Davey, and Kathleen Elias to the Board of Examiners of Nursing Home Administrators. Any discussion?
Yes.
Senator Shields.
I thought I should report back to you all that we had some really good discussions. At that point, Tiffany and I were the only ones here, at least for the last two or three. And
that'll make up for the entire times when I'm here by myself for extensive periods of time.
I agree.
So you get a goal.
And I was not saying that you should have been anywhere other than in the very busy meetings that you were in, which were important. But we raised some issues with these folks about elder abuse as one issue. Elder abuse is something that's often not thought about. Had a very interesting perspective from one woman from England, I believe it was. Which one was that?
Miss Clark. She's a registered nurse.
Right. And she said, you know, in America we have all these nursing homes, every one of them has a door. And when the door closes, quite often a staff person can be much more abusive than in the European system where there are no doors. There's common wards, and there's usually more than one person on a ward, and abuse rates are much lower than they are here. It's a fascinating thought. I mean, I'd always thought that's terrible to have common wards and stuff like that, but they were talking about how much it changes the abuse factor in England as versus America. So that was just one issue. We talked about several other issues, which each of these clients, my own experience 30 years in the ministry, I became my own board of nursing home examiners because I'd walk through a door. You could tell abuse when you smelled it sometimes in a nursing home. So it was a very interesting conversation, and each of these folks responded well to questions.
Great. Thanks. We appreciate you doing the work for us. We are in work session. The chair has moved the Board of Examiners and Nursing Home Administrators. Any further discussion? Any objection? Hearing and seeing none. So ordered. Thank you, Senator Shields, for your willingness to carry and open a work session on the State Workforce Investment Board. The chair would move David Williams to the board. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered, and I'll carry that appointment. Senator Deckard, come on forward. Ask for Catherine Travis and Rob Van Cleve to come forward as well. We're going to open a hearing on the Board of Directors of the State Accident Insurance Fund Corporation. Good afternoon and welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I would just like to, if you will indulge Ryan Deckard from Senate District 14, to introduce Catherine Travis, who's a constituent of mine. She is a wonderful resident of Raleigh Hills and has been an attorney at Lane Powell for 20 years.
I've been an attorney for over 20 years, but at Lane Powell only a few years.
I stand corrected. She's been an attorney at Lane Powell for a few years and an attorney in Portland for over 20. She's a graduate of one of the great law schools in the United States, Lewis and Clark Law School, which I think a number of our members here are also graduates of that law school.
I think he's buttering up the chair.
She specializes in business reorganization, which is a great trait for our new SAFE board. She's lived in Portland for about 30 years, graduated from Vassar for undergraduate, has been a past executive committee member of the State Bar Debtor-Creditor and on the executive committee and editor of the Debtor-Creditor newsletter at the State Bar. And, Madam Chair, she is a composer and accomplished pianist and plays the piano and composes and makes music in Raleigh Hills. So happy to introduce Ms. Catherine Travis.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Deckert. We've got for the folks here on these appointments, we're doing a little different routine. And for new appointments to boards and commissions, we're asking folks to either come to Salem or appear by telephone so we can find out a little bit more about you and why you want to serve on the board and just put names to faces. So welcome.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members of the committee. I'm here to have you consider my nomination to the SAFE board, and of course I'm hoping I'll gain your support in that process. I'm seeking nomination or appointment to the SAFE board because I truly and strongly believe in public service, of giving back something to your community and to your state. And although I've never served on a government board before, I haven't had that opportunity. I have served on other boards, and I have served and been involved in other projects that are community service or community-oriented projects. For example, I'm participating now in a project that's just getting off the ground that teams up attorneys with judges of the bankruptcy court to go out into the high schools and talk to high school students about the uses and, unfortunately, the abuses of credit in our society. It's called CARE, and it stands for Credit Abuse Resistance Education. Other things I'm involved in, I'm on serving on the board of Equity Foundation, whose mandate it is to help build communities that embrace the dignity and worth of all people. And in that capacity, I'm serving on the Safe Schools Committee of that organization. I'm midway through my second term on that board and do intend to stay on that board. One of the boards that I'm going off of, the ACLU Oregon boards, where I have been serving for the last 6 years, two consecutive terms, and I've served there in a number of capacities and on a number of different committees, including the Budget Committee, chairing the Development Committee, and then this last year of my term, I've been president of the board. So you may ask, why the SAFE board? What's my interest there? I very much believe in SAFE's mission of providing affordable workers' compensation insurance across the state and of protecting injured workers. And I believe I'm qualified to be a board member to assist SAFE in advancing this mission and also in restoring the public trust and confidence in SAFE. I believe I have qualifications, I guess, in three areas. I'm willing to make the kind of commitment that board membership on SAFE requires. I believe I have a skill set due to my work experience to assist. And I also understand what it means to be a fiduciary, to have fiduciary obligations as a board member. As to the commitment piece of this, I think that to be an effective board member, you have to devote considerable time and energy to doing it right. And I realize that, and I'm willing to make that kind of commitment. And I guess fortunately for me, I'm a partner in a law firm, Lane Powell, where they believe in public service, and they have specifically, sanctioned my making the kind of commitment that I think this board would need to have from its board members. As to work experience, Senator Deckert already mentioned to you that I've been practicing in the area of business reorganizations for over 20 years, Lane Powell for under 3 years at this point. I think it's fair to say that that kind of experience lets you know your way around financial statements, budgets, projections, balance sheets, and the like. And I'm quite used to reviewing and analyzing and making recommendations about contracts and business models and business plans and strategic plans. And, I've learned to appreciate the need to, for companies to face their problems, to set realizable goals to solve those problems, and to track performance towards those solutions. And also to companies need to exercise fiscal responsibility and accountability. And above all, what I've learned partly through that is that you have to continually question all assumptions as you go through a process with a company. Through this work experience that I've had with, so-called troubled companies and their boards, and my service on several boards, I think I do understand the fiduciary obligations that a board member has, and most particularly the very critical role of oversight that a board member must assume, and not just complacently, but vigorously. Because SAFE is a public corporation, I think the fiduciary obligations that a board member has then extends to public. And with the recent problems that SAFE has had, which I believe it's beginning to address, I think it's really incumbent upon SAFE to be very open and very clear in what it's doing and why it's doing it. I guess the only thing I have left to say before I guess you get to questioning me is that I'm a kind of roll up your sleeves, get down to work kind of person, and that's the kind of board member I intend to be if you approve my appointment to the board. And again, I want to thank you for letting me address you directly. I want to thank Senator Deckard for doing the introduction. I appreciate that. And I welcome your questions.
Thank you. We're going to let you go, Senator Deckard, unless you want to stay.
Be nice.
Okay. Mr. Van Cleve, welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Senators. If I was smart, I'd just say ditto, but I'm not musically inclined, so I guess I'm going to have to go on my own here. So my interest in serving on the SAFE Board of Directors, there's a number of reasons for that. In my term as an elected official and as appointed official, as an employee, as an employer, I've seen the benefits of a healthy workers' comp system, both from employer side and economic development side. I agree with the governor that a healthy workers' comp system is essential to competitive Oregon. Of course, SAFE isn't the entire workers' comp system. The SAFE is one of the three legs of the stool, and a healthy, vibrant, SAFE corporation is essential to the economy of Oregon. Just look to our neighbors. California got an F on the recent rating workers' comp systems, and the state of Washington got a C, and Oregon got an A. So I think we have an obligation to maintain that and improve on that. Throughout my career, I've had opportunities to serve or been asked to serve on other state-level organizations, and have focused my energies on my employer and on my community. And now I believe that I'm at a point in my career where I have the knowledge, skills, and abilities to provide a positive input at a state level to the citizens of Oregon. I guess my experience is best described in three different areas as it pertains to the report to the governor, the recent report to the governor. I have 17 years as a nationally certified human resource professional in the public and private sectors, which include responsibilities for workers' compensation. And I think that experience will help me deal with some of the issues put forward to the governor, policies, compensation, diversity, some of the other issues that SAFE is going to have to address. I'm currently serving my fourth year on the board of directors for the Society for Human Resource Management, based in Alexandria, Virginia. SHRM is the world's largest organization devoted to human resources, and we currently have over 200,000 members throughout the world. Through that 4 years that I've served on that national board, we have went through a major board reorganization. We've went through a turnover of a CEO. We went through a three-year strategic planning process, and so I've been able to be part of that. I've also served on the audit committee with financial oversight to SHRM. and as well as currently serving on the HR committee that deals with all the compensation issues for the senior management staff and the CEO. I'm currently serving my fifth term as an elected official for the city of the Dalles, right now I'm in my fourth term as mayor, and I think what that brings for me to the table is that I've worked in an open and transparent environment, and serving as mayor of the city of the Dalles, we conduct our meetings according to open public meeting law, and we deal with the records laws all the time, and I'm comfortable and committed to operating in that open environment, and I don't come before you today asking for your endorsement with an agenda. I come with an open mind to learn about the Safe Corporation and the workers' comp system, and to if I have any conviction, it's that the Safe Board needs to work in an open environment. It needs to be completely transparent. We at the City of the Dalles are proud of our track record that we comply with the law in executive session, but if there's ever a doubt, and we have a track record of, we usually err on the side of the public. And unless it be a competitive issue with Safe or something that's clearly in the executive session part of the law, then I think it needs to be done open, an open environment. So I think that would summarize the skills that I believe I bring to the table, and I ask for your support and appreciate your time.
Thank you. Questions? Senator Shields.
This is kind of a delight for me because I've been chairing a general government committee for almost 2 years. It's looking at SAFE and the reforms to SAFE. So I thank you both for being here. I guess I would ask different questions of each of you, and if each of you then also want to take on the other person's question, that would be just fine by me. Ms. Travis, I keep thinking of the biggest issue that has been with SAFE as one around how much oversight that board of directors was giving the former director when she made all kinds of decisions, like to hire a lobbyist and pay him $40,000 a month without checking in with the board and so on and so forth. How far do you think the oversight should go over the executive director?
Well, I think there should be a great deal of oversight, and I think that the recommendations that have been put forth include a lot of oversight, as well as the legislation, Senate Bill 310, and I think that's absolutely appropriate and that should be there. As a board, I think that we're both quite aware of that and willing, as prospective board members, to take that on. Because when you get into, for example, the contracts, the lobbying contracts, the group insurance contracts, I liked seeing that the direction it's going in is that the board will have oversight over those contracts. I think contracts that are in the $500,000 range are also in that category. And I think it's very important that the board is not complacent, that this doesn't take what is being fed, and I don't mean that in a negative way, but what's being given to them, and just sort of accept everything that's being stated and all the information that's being given. I think it's very important that we exercise our critical analytical minds on this, ask questions, ask the hard questions, and make sure we get the answers to those questions, but that we will have a role. And I think it's that oversight role is critical, not just to at the end of the road, but when management knows that oversight role is being filled at last and is being seriously considered, then I think it creates an integrity in the entire system when there's that sense of accountability throughout the process.
Thank you.
Senator Shields, anything further?
Yeah, I'm going to ask Rob kind of a different question. There's been a whole lot about open meetings as one issue, and then just secrecy in general, you know, kind of what is going to end up in the public records and what isn't going to end up in public records. We agree on some things, employee account records shouldn't be totally visible to the whole public. If that happens, nobody's going to insure with SAFE, you know. Yeah. Where do you come down in that whole continuum of stuff that I, your counterpart here referred to Senate Bill 310. I suppose you've probably been looking at it, too. My committee's still working on amendments. We aren't done with it yet, to be sure. But we're moving in the direction of some closure. How do you view this whole issue of what should be seen? I mean, I know you're doing stuff in the Dalles as mayor. It has to be open and light. How do you put that in juxtaposition to this being a business that has some quote-unquote trade secrets? What should be considered trade secrets, and what can be out in the open?
Madam Chair, Senator Shields, I'm not sure I have the answer for that. My first reaction would be that we follow the law. Now, of course, SAFE's in this quasi, they're part state agency and part business. And I think you just have to come down on the side of the law. If it's a competitive issue, if it's a HIP issue or employee records or a client records, obviously those are protected and should be protected. Outside of that, I've made a career of erring on the side of the public. There's many times we've, in the Dalles, ruled against staff and ruled with the press and had it done in an open and public fashion. So I think the exception should be doing it behind closed doors, so to speak, or an executive session, better term. And that should be the exception. The rule should do it in an open, follow the law and do it open public meetings. Now, City of the Dalles, we always have an attorney sitting there with us, so we have the benefit of a city attorney advising us. But many times the city attorney will say, well, you can go in executive session, and we'll override that and say we choose not to. We choose to do an open. Second part of that, if I may, Senate Bill 310, I guess I was amazed that a lot of that stuff wasn't already in the law somewhere, or at the least wasn't being followed, and it appears much of it to be common sense, and that it should be. Very least it should have been followed, and so now we see it in the bill, and that's okay, and I think it's appropriate. But when it comes, I think the board especially now has to be open and transparent and weigh very heavily when they choose to go in executive session and be very, very conservative in that area.
Is it okay? One more?
I'll let you.
Is that?
That's fine, Senator Shields. That's okay. Fine. I was teasing you.
And I guess this would be for both of you. When President Courtney asked me to chair general government during the interim and to begin this investigation of SAFE, he said, you know, I don't know where you're going to come out on this. You know, because it is a semi-independent state agency. It's not really analogous to any other agency. It's not quite like the lottery, although that's semi-independent. It's certainly not like Oregon Health Sciences University, though that's semi-independent. This is actually out there in the marketplace competing with private companies to deliver the package in terms of workers' comp. Given that milieu, how do you balance this thing? The president didn't know whether I should draw it closer to government, whether we as a committee and the legislature should draw it closer to government, whether we should tweak it. He couldn't give us, you know, answers. Nobody can. It's a very kind of tricky thing. So just share your philosophy. Not your answer. You're not going to be working on Senate Bill 310. We'll give you that. But what's your philosophy with how you make this animal work? Remember, in 1991, we would have got that F, probably, that you were talking about. Not an A. We certainly weren't at a C. You know, we've made a change. I'm a little bit concerned that we've made such a big change that we've gone from delivering a workers' comp package that really benefits injured workers to one that sometimes forgets the injured workers and benefits the employers. How do you mix this footing? I'm asking you a tough question. You can both answer it, and I'm asking you a tough question because I want to watch how you're going to process this, because the process is as important as the answer, I suppose.
Well, you are asking a difficult question, and I don't have the answer to it. You know, and there's a lot of study time that, you know, I think both of us are probably going to have in terms of getting up to speed so that we feel we can make a reasoned kind of conclusion. And I know you're looking for, well, how do you deal with this? I mean, you have to look at, well, it's a good thing we got an A. That's a good starting point. But if it looks like we have moved a little too far away from the focus on, I guess, to me, I see it as a two-part mission. There's the affordable insurance to employers. There's the protecting the injured workers. We've got to make sure that if there's been a bit of a swing, and I really wouldn't feel I need to study more to see, you know, how much that has occurred, that it needs to swing back a bit. Because, and I agree with the change in the Senate bill that talks about the change in the mission. It's not really, I hope it's not a change in mission. I see it as making explicit what's been implicit, that you've got to administer claims fairly, promptly, ethically, as it states in that Senate bill. And making that explicit is important. Some of the other changes I've heard about, but I don't pretend to know the details of Senate Bill 310 or Senate Bill 311 that deals with the independent medical examiners, but making some changes like that to swing it back a bit so that injured workers do not have to, are treated fairly, basically. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Now, in terms of that sort of three-part, you know, there's self-insurance, there's private insurers, and then there's the public corporation. I mean, I think the legislature initially envisioned a kind of balance of that there would be this public corporation working in a competitive environment. And, you know, I think it ultimately all comes down to the proof is in the pudding. What do you end up with that kind of a structure? But also how you can sort of tinker with it so that it's more responsive and a better structure and meets the twin goals in effectively. But I don't know that I'm answering your question here because I really don't know the answer, but I think it requires sort of fine-tuning and examination and always keeping in mind in reviewing these kinds of questions what the mission is, what's the purpose is, and you know, why do we have a public corporation, and is it doing the job, and can it do the job that needs to be done?
Thank you.
Madam Chair, Senator Shields, that is the million-dollar question, and I hope I can give you something close of an answer. I'm going to go into it with an open mind, and I've looked at SAFE from different directions. I've talked to employees that we always talk to our employees after they go through the process. How do they feel that they were dealt with? And generally, if not always, get a positive response from the employee's perspective. Dealt with them as an employer, and I've always had we haven't always been real close friends, and I'm not very shy. Can't be shy and be four-term mayor. So in times past, if I felt that the SAFE Corporation wasn't dealing fairly with us as an employer, the employees, then I wasn't a bit shy about telling them my opinion. The fact that they're part, a government agency and part in the private sector, you just play the cards that are dealt you. You know, they can't whine about it. That whatever rules established by the legislature, then that's what we deal with, and the board will have to make them work. And I think it has worked to a degree. Sure, there's any corporation goes through a life cycle, and SAFE has suffered some mistakes, and I think the governor is dealing with those. I'm reading the report, both reports that the prior board made, and then the most recent reports to the governor. A lot of it is serious stuff that needs to be dealt with. A lot of it's common sense and should have been dealt with. As far as how do they operate, they'll operate with whatever rules come to them and make the best of it. They're, when it comes to public records and public meetings, they're a public agency. And the rules are the rules, and we all follow them. 246 cities and 36 counties and special districts and school boards, everybody follows those rules. And so that's not a unique set of rules to SAFE. As far as the workers' comp side, the competitive side, they are asked to be competitive. I think they are competitive. The majority of the customers are still in the private sector. SAFE has a 45, 46, 40% of the market. So they must be doing something right. I don't know what they're doing right and wrong, other than what I've read in the reports, and I plan to go in there with your support of the full Senate, go in there with an open mind and the willingness to put in the time and effort, attend the meetings, and be a proper board member. I think previous question is also a million-dollar question. What's the oversight responsibility of a board member? I think that's board to board, and in some cases, issue to issue. Everybody struggles with that, and elected boards, volunteer boards. I think there's probably two sets of goalposts. One is no oversight, where the executive management team makes decisions they think are appropriate and doesn't inform the board. And the other end of that spectrum is micromanaging. I don't tell the city manager how to run the city. I don't get involved in the day-to-day decisions, nor should I. And so I don't think the board should get involved in trying to run the state corporation on a day-to-day basis. And so the real answer is somewhere in the middle. And I think the new board is going to work to find where that is. And I'm sure it's going to be a different place than the previous board.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Ferriello?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I do. First of all, Mr. Van Cleve, Mayor Van Cleve, is my constituent from the Dalles, and he serves a different function. In addition to being mayor, he's also quite expert in personnel management, having handled that function for Wasco County for many years. Mr. Van Cleve, I see that you are designated as an employer member of the board. How will your duties differ from the public member of the board, which is your colleague today is being designated as a public member, and I guess I'd like to ask, is it the county or is it the city that are safe employed or safe insured, or is it both?
Madam Chair, Senator Ferrioli, both the city and the county are covered by Safe Corporation. That's a good question. Prior to you telling me, I didn't know what slot I filled, actually. And I think that's okay, because I don't want to say I'm going to go in there and represent the employers, because that's not a functioning board. I think you have to go in there, and the balance with the Safe Corporation and the workers' comp system is always between the employer and the employee, that the employees are dealt with effectively and efficiently, and from the employer's side, obviously, that it's affordable and serves its purpose. So I think I'd make a horrible mistake if I said that my role is to go in there and represent the public or the employees or the employer. I think my role as a board member is to be one of five and to spend the time necessary to make sure it's a balanced system and deal with it from that perspective. I hope I answered your question, Senator.
That's a good answer, Madam Chairman. I guess I would say that if anybody asks you from now on, you are designated as the employer member. And, Madam Travis, you're designated as the public member. How does your role differ?
Well, I mean, my role, if anything, is broader, but from what Mayor Van Cleve said, he considers his to be a broad-based role. I think we all bring different perspectives, but we're all there with obligations to the public. This is a public corporation, after all, and that is, I'm quite comfortable being a public representative, because I think that's where the fiduciary duty lies, to the public.
Okay. And Ms. Travis, do you know Brenda Rockland personally? Have you encountered Brenda Rockland yet?
I've met her once.
Okay, good. And I saw that in the dossier that we were provided, Mr. Van Cleve has met her once as well, at least.
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Okay. Thank you for a wild ride.
I wondered where that was going, Senator Ferrioli.
Ultimate respect for the director of the department. I think she's on a mission to make sure the department's very responsive and fully complies with the letter and the spirit of the laws that oversee this safe organization. I don't mean to be argumentative, just as a point of reference. The reason that there are designations among the members is that we definitely wanted to see people balanced in that five-person board by role. So there are public members, there are employee members, and then there are other members. So I'd urge you to think in the way that you are about representing the broadest possible interests, and the overriding public interest in SAFE is to keep it solvent. That's my opinion, and functioning, because it serves such a valuable purpose. But please be aware that you're designated as members of different organizations for a reason. And the employers do need a clear voice on that board, as well as the beneficiaries. And so that sums up my comments, Madam Chairman. I'll be happy to support both these nominees.
Thank you. Mayor Van Cleve, just a question. Is the mayor's job a paid one?
No, Madam Chair, it's not.
Apparently not full-time
either.
No,
that's not true, Madam Chair. He pays a lot.
Yes, it's our understanding we're the only city of our size in Oregon that receives absolutely no compensation. So.
Okay. Well, thank you for your willingness to take on yet another unpaid task. I just noticed on your resume that you were honored as an outstanding young Oregonian in 1997. Was that by the JCs by any chance?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Is it possible you and I were honored by this the same year with that same honor, or was that, I can't remember what year I got that award, so.
I'll defer to you, Madam Chair. You're probably correct, and I picked the wrong year. I picked the wrong year.
Today, so.
And Madam Chair, that was in 1997?
Yes.
Obviously, the definition of the term
it was
young.
Loose. It was loose, Senator Perry Olley.
My years have been in 1897.
1897. You guys are just digging a deeper hole. Sarah Atkinson, what do you want to jump in with?
Nothing age related, because 1997, I was really young.
Yeah.
Look
well,
at me now. May I ask a few questions?
Sure,
now?
You may.
Thank
on the
you.
Substance of the matter before us.
Yes, thank you. you know, I've heard a couple of different comments from both of you that you represent the public. And that you go into it with an open mind. We also represent the public. We represent very big chunks of the public. Even though we're elected to a partisan party, our job is to reflect everyone in the best of our ability. As someone, a legislator, myself, having lost almost all confidence in SAFE, sure it plays an important role. Sure, it plays an important role in workers' comp rights. But I have no reason to trust SAFE at all with $40,000 contracts here and $8,000 contracts here and being the wrath of, I dared disagree with them once 5 years ago. And to watch a state agency go after me in my district, I thought was ridiculous. So I have lost all confidence in the agency, regardless of all the politics that they had in the last legislative cycle or last initiative cycle. Mm-hmm. And I think that was wrought with all kinds of crazy politics too, essentially with people's real money, with a state agency competing with business and then not acting like the government at all, not acting like it's representing the public at all, but just absolutely in my mind out of control. So what are you going to do to help fix their reputation inside this building, which I still think it's terribly wounded?
Is that for both of the appointees,
yeah.
Sarah Atkinson?
He always defers to me, the ladies first.
That's right.
Part. yeah, that's a hard question. And obviously, there have been a lot of mistakes made, and I think it's incumbent, as I said earlier, upon SAFE and its board to help restore the public trust and the public confidence and the legislatures. I guess that's let's start at the beginning of the legislature's trust in the organization. And I think you just have to take it step by step. I mean, one of the, I can't remember if it's a proposal or a part of Senate Bill 310. I'm kind of trying to move fast on this learning curve to learn more about what SAFE's done and how it's trying to fix itself. But I understood that the new board was going to, newly constituted when we're a full board, was going to look at the lobbying, lobbying activities and propose lobbying guidelines. So that's, I guess, one of the efforts to get politics and partisanship out of the equation, where there may have been problems before that I've only read about, and I haven't had the unfortunate personal experience that you've had in terms of that. But trying to take the politics out of the group insurance contracts, the lobbying contracts, the advertising contracts. That's one area, but there's so many areas here. As when you read the report that's been given to the governor, and you read the legislation, and of course you've been out there listening and hearing reports about what's happening at SAFE. I mean, there's just so many areas, but you just got to take each area, work on it to then bring integrity back into the system. I noticed that one of the things that is going to be addressed is the organizational structure. I think you need to have a lot of organizational controls which increase accountability along the way. So things like that don't happen, that were wrong to have happened. And when there's better oversight, when you've got you know, the better compliance with all kinds of requirements that are out there, whether it be email retention or public records or whatever it is, really taking each area and making it better. And I don't think it's going to be an overnight process, although it needs to be swift the process as possible to address all of the problems and make it better and get to a point where you've restored the legislature's trust and the public's trust, and you don't have SAFE as a news item all too frequently.
Madam Chair, Senator, whenever you establish a board, whether it be this process or the election process, you know, each board member brings their own knowledge, skills, and abilities, and their own integrity to the process. It's not going to be an easy fix. It's not going to be done overnight. It's not going to be done in 6 months. It's SAFE's going to have to work at it. I think mistakes were made. I'm not going to sit here and criticize a previous board because I wasn't in their shoes. But I hope that should I be confirmed by the Senate, that when my time on this board is done, that no law had to be passed that had the words "not supported by sound business and insurance principles," that I as a board member never made a decision that didn't already include that it had to be legislated. And I think all I can tell you, Senator, is that I will bring my background and my experience in the ethics and integrity that I have, and work with four other board members to fix things that need to be fixed and move SAFE Corporation forward. They've stumbled, they've burned bridges, and I think those bridges are going to have to be rebuilt. I think if you look at the response from the former C-suite or executive council, in response to the governor's letter, I think it was April 2004, the response, and you look at Brenda Rockland's recent report to the governor, the first one read to me as a defensive posture, and I think the most recent one, it pointed out things that needed to be fixed. I mean, she opened the door and said, these are problems, probably not all the problems, but in the time they had to put their report together, I think it was honest, and I think it was done with the blinds open, and I think that's the way we got to operate. It may take a session or two sessions or three sessions, I don't know, but I think that all we can say is that we're going to work to restore that in this building and throughout the state and do the best we can.
Madam Chair, it's a comment. Thank you for serving. I serve on six boards too, and I'm the designated shake it up guy on three of them. So I just urge you to get in there. Don't wait three or four sessions, but shake it up now. I have no confidence in this agency, and that's not a policy statement about some other company. I was stayed out of that whole mess last year. I just don't like how they behave. It's simple as that. And I don't think they're accountable. And I think they wait for the legislature to leave the session and then go about their business. So go in there and shake it up. Ask the hard questions. Write it down and get back and build confidence. All these people here that I serve with, we all represent thousands and thousands and thousands of Oregonians. It's our job to get back to them. So get back to us. I don't, you know, if you pared away all the politics of the last initiative campaign with even the people on this board, I still think there's a very small thread of trust with the agency. So mix it up, shake it up, you know, lock in the conference room for a long time to get the answers and do the job. So thanks for doing it, you know. Get back to us if you can.
Thank you, Senator Atkinson. Senator Walker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you both. I want to apologize, Mr. Van Cleve, Mayor Van Cleve. I didn't get back to you when you phoned me on Friday. It was a very busy day, and this weekend was supposed to be Mother's Day, though I'm not sure I took time out for that. And Ms. Travis and I spoke this morning. I actually would have called you at 7:20 as I was driving up the freeway, but I didn't think you'd be up and about. Madam Chair, if you don't mind, I'll just ask a couple of series of questions.
Okay.
And Ms. Travis and I know each other. She didn't know that, but she's been in bankruptcy court many times in Eugene, though she serves primarily in Portland. And that's good that she didn't know me. The court reporter is supposed to be quiet and a silent partner in the courtroom. But I appreciate the background that you bring, especially having experience with Chapter 11s. That's huge. And as members know or don't know, Chapter 11s are probably the creme de la creme of bankruptcy reorganizations, and they're very complex. And the bankruptcy forms are awful. The monthly reporting that is required, all the forms that have to be filled out. And so, Ms. Travis, I appreciate that background because that's huge. You know how to go in and reorganize a company, and this company, as Senator Atkinson just talked about, is in a world of hurt with us here in the legislature. And I appreciated your answers to your questions today, so I don't really have too many. And I'll ask you in a second, because I want to ask you both the same question. And Mayor Van Cleave, you know, the thing that I liked most about what you said is that you talk to your employees who've been through the process once they've been injured. I think that's admirable. That is incredible. I've never heard an employer say that before. And I think the only way for you to know that they're getting short shrift or getting excellent service is to ask that question. So I really want to tell you how much I appreciate that. Now, Mayor Van Cleave, I noticed on your application that you signed yours in November of 04, and there's some communication in here with the governor's office around the holidays. And then, Ms. Travis, yours wasn't signed until March. So have you been contacted for several months now? And Ms. Travis, are you a recent contact to the board, or have you been in communications with the governor's office?
No, I am recent. I got called in, I don't know exactly the date, but in March, I believe, to see if I would be interested in talking about a possible position on the board.
Okay.
And then I was asked to put in a statement of interest and the application.
And Mayor Van Cleave, you've been known about this since November then.
Yes, Madam Chair, Senator Walker, I risked becoming an email terrorist to the governor's office in my persistence in asking to serve on this board. So the governor's office was very patient with me. But starting in November, I had an interest in joining the board before there was openings on the board, at least as many as there are now. And so I've been in contact with the governor's office off and on, and the League of Oregon Cities Association, Oregon County's Office of Rural Policy, other offices, people I know looking for support. So.
Well, I'm impressed with that, and I'm impressed also that you've read the reports from your responses to the answers, your answers to the questions. You've read all of the reports, and I agree with you. It was a very defensive posture that the board took in its first report, and that just added to the complications that were created and unfortunately led to, in the beginning, some adversarial relationships with SAFE's new management, though I have to say Ms. Rockland has done an admirable job. But it took a long time to get beyond that feeling. So let me ask you this question, and then I know Senator Brown needs to move on. You've read the report. I'm assuming, Ms. Travis, you'll read all those reports. You both know about Senate Bill 310. There are also a number of other workers' compensation bills in Senator Shields' committee, as well as floating around the building, many of them having to do with managed care contracts and group contracts and independent medical exams, which are actually in the statute called insurer medical exams, but they really should be independent. So that's a big issue. But let me ask you, my burning thing is with MWAC. MWAC is the Management Labor Advisory Committee that was created with the workers' comp reforms. I have a bill this session to change the makeup of MWAC. It's probably not going to happen, and we'll need some further discussion. Are you familiar with how MWAC works, and do you see that there should be some different makeup of the group? Right now it's 5 management and 5 labor, and basically they act as a mini legislature, which kind of irritates some of my colleagues, but that program actually works pretty well, though I'm just concerned about the makeup of our MLAC as being just limited to labor and management. So can you speak to that for me, please?
Well, I'll have to confess that I don't know about your bill and what the problems are, which doesn't mean I'm not going to get up to speed on it real quickly. So I can't really respond to your question. All I can do is give you my commitment to that I will, in fact, get the information I need and will evaluate it and form conclusions and share those conclusions.
And that's fine that you don't know the answer. It's good that you admit that you don't know the answer. We try sometimes to bluff our way through the answer, but that's okay. You're not an employer. You haven't been involved in the system, but I would hope that you'd sort of, and I know you will learn more about how that committee functions and how it relates to the legislature. And Mayor Van Cleve, are you familiar with MLAC?
Madam Chair, Senator Walker, no, and I was surprised that I couldn't find out more about it. They were referenced, you know, we're all aware, I think, of the Mahoney Hall and the reforms that started that process, and then it was continued on. But in all the research I tried to do, I really couldn't get a sense of who they were, who's on there, what do they do, how often do they meet. I mean, I think I understand what their role is. So if confirmed by the Senate, it's an area that I plan to find out, and their impact. Why didn't SAFE ever refer to them? I mean, is it appropriate that they weren't referred to in any of the SAFE documents I read? Do they work in conjunction, in opposition? I don't know, but it raised a lot of questions to me that may have very simple answers, but if confirmed, that's one area I tend to become more knowledgeable about because I'm curious about it, and I'm curious why I couldn't find, if it plays a key role in the workers' comp system, then why isn't there more public information about it? Mm-hmm. I'm used to public information about these kind of things. It may just be that I didn't know where to look, Senator, but I'm very curious about the process. So as far as the makeup of the board, I don't know enough to have a educated answer.
Okay, well, that's an honest answer as well, and I think MLAC does serve a purpose. It's just I think we need to get people of academia, attorneys. It needs to be a little more broad-based than what it is now. I think it just doesn't function very well. And if something doesn't get approved by MLAC, it doesn't generally get through the legislature, which I think is really problematical. So I'll have some more conversations with you about that. But that's all I have because all the other members have asked you some really good questions. And I just want to tell you both that I'm very impressed with your resumes and your answers today, and I would be honored to vote yes for both of you on the floor.
Thank you, Senator.
Mayor Van Cleve, Ms. Travis, thank you both very much for joining us today, particularly you for traveling so far. And we will, assuming you have the support in committee, moving forward probably next week on these appointments. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
I'm going to close the public hearing on the Board of Directors of SAFE and open a public hearing on the Water Resources Commission. Ask Mr. Charles Barstow, John Jackson, and Mary Malloy come forward. I'm Barlow. Mr. Barlow, I understand you have an airplane, so we'll get you on and off as quickly as possible. So.
Thank you.
Why don't you go ahead?
Madam Chair, Senators, my name is Charles Bartle. I'm from Niagara County. I live about 15 miles southwest of Nyssa. I'm involved in a family farm where we irrigate about 1,000 acres. It's all row crop, potatoes, mature beets, beans, peas, corn for seed, and so on. So irrigation is a very important part of our life. That business is a partnership with my brothers and a brother-in-law. I have three teenage daughters and a 10-year-old son, and
lucky you,
a busy life, and enjoy those three teenage daughters. By the way, my interest in serving on the commission, I think, stems from my approach from the previous commissioner from my region. Mr. Nakano asked me about it early in the year, and I began to entertain thoughts. And as I asked individuals in my region, I had an overwhelming support from them, which I'm grateful for. Some of the letters that you may have seen were not solicited, but came from others asking for that support. And I also realized the importance of water. Living in the high desert, it is our life. The prudent use of that resource is important to us as irrigators and also to the community around us. Um, that's my interest in this position. I appreciate the opportunity to come, and I'm honored to be here today to meet with you.
Thanks, Mr. Barlow. And I understand, isn't NISA losing its sugar beet processing plant?
Yes, it's been temporarily closed. What that means, we're not sure, but because of the trade situation in the world with sugar, the company's cut back to about an 84% production of the acres it initially did. And so what they've done is closed the NISA facility, and they'll process those sugar beets in the three Southern Idaho facilities. So it's been a big loss to the community. The beet industry will stay as far as the growers, but the sugar factory and the employees there have taken a major hit.
Lost a couple hundred employees.
Yes, I think that's it. I think they relocated about 50 of those, or they maintain the storage facility there in NISA, but the processing is being moved.
Okay. Questions for Mr. Barlow? Thank you very much. We appreciate it. I felt guilty bringing you this far, but if you got to go up to Portland to fly out, I guess we're sort of in the path. So, is that where you're flying out of?
Yes.
Portland? Okay.
So.
Well, travel safely, and thank you very much for joining us today. Go ahead, Ms. Malloy. Mr. Jackson, you're welcome to come on up. And let's bring up Gary Reed. Mr. Gary Reed.
Good afternoon. I'm Mary Malloy. I'm from the Bend, Redmond area, and I was driving over today thinking, what would I want to know about me if I were you? Because you have a lot of materials to review, and letters of support have been sent in, but I am happy to report that it's raining really hard on the pass. Mm-hmm. That is a good thing for our water year. But what I would want to know about me is that I am seen as representing municipal government because I have a 30-year career in working for cities and counties. But that's not all I'm about. I recently retired so that I have a chance to serve on a committee like this is an honor, and I will have time to study the issues as I wouldn't have before, doing a more than full-time job. But the three things that I'd like to leave with you is that, yes, I'm seen as representing municipal government as a water provider, but in my 30 years of experience, I've also worked with natural resource issues in Okanagan County, Washington, which I was heavily involved in wildlife habitat preservation and restoration. And the third thing I would want you to know is that I, too, am a farmer as well. I don't nearly have as many acres as the other gentleman. I have 20 acres, a small grass hay operation in Central Oregon. Have been on lots of different water-related committees, both in Central Oregon, and had been invited to share my point of view on several committees with the Water Resources Department. So I'll just leave you with that and let you know that I intend to be open, honest, and fair, and just listen to all points of view and try to present my perspective from studying the issues.
Thank you. Okay. One of you.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, I'm John Jackson. I live in Cornelius, Oregon, Washington County, which is about where I live, about 3 miles west of downtown Portland, out in the country area. I'm retired from full-time employment. I infrequently do some private consulting in the environmental area for businesses. And I also own a wholesale plant nursery that has been greatly reduced in size since I've retired. I believe that I can contribute years of experience to the Water Resources Commission. I have sat as an environmental regulator with the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality and the Water Quality Division, dealing with non-point sources of pollution for 13 years. Then I moved over to Unified Sewerage Agency in Washington County, which is now called Clean Water Services. I was there for 11 years as the planning manager, and that puts me on the regulated community side of the environmental control table. In retirement, I continue to volunteer for committees and projects, and that's the reason why I've offered my services here to deal with water management issues. I also own a wholesale plant nursery that is a cooperator in the Tuolumne Valley Irrigation District, so I am also a recipient of dealing with some of the water laws from being a private landowner. I bring to the table an appreciation and understanding of how water affects all of our lives as reflected in the beneficial use list and statute and in some of the Oregon administrative rules for a couple of agencies, including Water Resources Department. This appreciation drives me to ensure diverse opinion, diverse discussion of issues comes to the table, and I'll do that on the Water Resources Commission, as I'm seeking collaborative decisions wherever possible that has a dose of reality that positively affects as many of the needs that are in that particular issue and also looking to the future. Thank you for your time and your consideration of my nominations, and I'll take questions.
Thank you. Next.
I'm Gary Reed from Hermiston, Oregon. Madam Chair and Senators, I do appreciate the opportunity to apply for this position. It wasn't a position that I was looking for, but Ty Hansel, who's a commissioner, has been pushing me for 4 or 5 years to consider doing this, and more recently a variety of other people have. I do have a significant interest in water. I was superintendent of Oregon State University's Branch Experiment Station at Hermiston for 20 years. Prior to that, I was an agricultural research scientist for the U.S. Department of Agriculture for 21 years. I've spent my whole life working as a civil servant. I believe there's something that civil servants need to give back, and so this is my opportunity to give back for what society's done for me. I am a person who likes to work as part of a team. I believe in compromise. I believe most people can work together as long as they try to work together. This commission has that reputation today, and if I'm part of it, I will continue as far as I can to be a member that cooperates extensively. It is entering a period when I think water is going to become the most significant issue in this state. Probably not only in this state, but in all the surrounding states. The decisions that are going to be made during that period of time are extremely important. Now, the real reason that I chose to go ahead and do this is because I have 3 granddaughters growing up in this state. They and their grandchildren are going to live with the decisions we make today. If I can help make those decisions, if I can help people make better decisions, I'd like to do that. So I appreciate the opportunity, and I hope for your support in this position. Thank you.
Thank you. And was it raining on your way over?
Thank God.
Okay. All right, questions? Sir?
Yeah, I guess I do have a question. I appreciate Gary, right? You're sounding an alarm. But I guess I'd ask my question of all of you, maybe starting ladies first with Mary. A statistic I came across not too long ago on the Ways and Means Subcommittee for Natural Resources is that in the state of Oregon we allow the drilling of some 15,000 domestic wells each year, permits. Each of those wells is limited in terms of the amount of water that they can, that's for domestic use. But they're all going into limited aquifers, limited numbers of streams with limited amounts of water. How do you see the conservation role, given the limited resource we have, playing itself out in the middle, in the midst of an agricultural state?
If I understand your question correctly, you're talking about all wells that are being drilled.
Yeah, but I was just surprised at that one statistic, that those are not all the wells. I mean, there are the municipal ones, there's the irrigation districts, and so on.
Well, there are wells that are exempt from permitting, which are generally single-family domestic. And then there are those that do require substantial permitting process. And until the laws change about those that are exempt from a permit, it is a concern. because if you're exempt from a permit, you're not regulated like those who are under a permit system. And those who are under a permit system tend to draw more water for, let's say, municipal use or agricultural well or whatever. So we're able to get a pretty good handle on those that are permitted. And you can calculate conservation based on some statistics and history, et cetera. But as more wells are drilled that are exempt from permitting, it's very difficult to do anything other than public education. My family grew up with a father. I grew up with a father that came through the Depression, and conservation was a way of life. And so, like we've done in Oregon with recycling, we teach from grade school, from the moment they go to school or the moment they get education, to recycle in Oregon. We need to do the same thing with water. From the moment the children can understand the conservation issues.
Thank you. Senator? The issue you bring up is one that is, I think, even more massive than we recognize. The average citizen utilizes water from agriculture for food. That's about 22,000 gallons a year that citizen utilizes just to eat. But the average citizen uses somewhere between, in the United States, between 50,000 and 65,000 gallons a year for other purposes. Conservation in that environment could be rather substantial. As it can be in agriculture, too. Agricultural conservation is a bylaw of the Hermiston area. Fred Ziari, who developed much of the modeling and the techniques to do that, have brought our use down dramatically, where 30 years ago they used over 3 feet of water to grow a potato crop. Today we grow the crop on about 20 inches of water. So there's a lot can be gained with conservation, but it's going to take a lot more than conservation. We as a state are going to have to develop a much better knowledge of our water base. I suspect we're going to find, as we develop that knowledge, that the basalt aquifers are not very plentiful, that the water that we're using today is water we're using up, and that we're going to have to do something different. I suspect that the state eventually is going to have policies that will develop offshore water, ocean water, for potable use in the state. And I don't think we're going to make those decisions this year or next year, but I think we need to be thinking about those opportunities and looking as best we can at what we can do with storage and conservation of the water that falls here. Those are not simple issues, and they're going to be issues that are going to be fraught with the division and dissent as the decisions come forward. And it's going to take a lot of cooperation and a lot of discussion to make that a satisfactory thing for everybody.
Thank you.
Mr. Jackson, any further comments?
Madam Chair, Senator Shields, I'd just like to add just a couple of quick thoughts. First of all, on the issue of education, water is a finite resource, both surface water and groundwater, and I think that's one of the things we've got to get through to the public. Once the public understands that, then I think conservation is going to be a lot easier. The other point I'd like to add to this is I live in the lower Willamette Basin, where we are seeing groundwater levels declining. My wells have gone down 35 feet in the last 20 years, the static level in March. And I've talked with the water master about the domestic well situation around the area. And I think part of that education, we also need to be, when somebody wants to develop a piece of property for a home and a hobby farm out in the country and have their little piece of heaven, they need to understand the situation they're getting into with the groundwater.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Shields. Anything further, Senator Farrelly? Thank you all very much. We really appreciate you joining us. I guess just in your comments make me think of ballot measure 37 and what the implications that may lead to in terms of water and development. And
yeah, one of the things, Madam Chair, if I might add to that, in the discussions with the water master, the land development checklist in Washington County, there's a number of things that a person has to go through. Why don't they add to that list checking on groundwater if it's a rural situation, and that a very simple check off. But unfortunately, they have to. The best place to get that information is from the Water Resources Department, and for limited resources there, it may challenge them more than we're intending. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your willingness to serve. Senator Wilson, did you want to come say something?
Are we taking public testimony?
We are. Water Resources Commission.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Senator Ben Westland, District 27, and I am here to testify on behalf of Mary Malloy. I have known Mary for a number of years. She has demonstrated her competence in both the public and private sector. She has worked with the Deschutes Basin mitigation process and has worked tirelessly to put additional water resources in the Middle Deschutes, a very impacted portion of that river system. And perhaps just as important as all that I have previously said here is that her collaborative can-do attitude is shown in all of her not only personal but professional relations, and she has a very committed work ethic. I cannot support Mary Malloy any stronger. She's one of the good ones.
Thank
I'd
you,
be happy
Senator
to take
Westland.
Any questions.
Questions for Senator Westland. Senator Shields.
We were very impressed before you got in here as you talking to Mary and listening to her answers. I am concerned only about one thing, and that is the idea of you, Senator, as a character reference for somebody.
It's thrown it into doubt, Ben.
Yeah.
Madam Chair, I'd be happy to take questions from almost anyone on the committee.
Thank you, Senator Westland, for joining us.
Thank you.
Kay Teasel and Barry Bashu. And the committee's we're running short on time. I have Doug Riggs and David Barenberg here in support of Ms. Malloy. Can I just put you down for the record? Thank you. Good lobbyists. You earn extra points that way. Hi.
Hello. Chair Brown and members of the committee, I'm Kay Teasel with the Oregon Cattlemen's Association, and we are in support of the Water Resource Commission appointments before you today. We particularly support the endorsement of Charles Barlow. His experience and community support clearly speaks for itself, and we believe he will be a valuable addition to this commission. Thank you.
Thank you. That's good. Very brief. Mr. Bashu, welcome.
I may be as brief. Madam Chair, members of the committee, I appreciate the opportunity. My name is Barry Bashu, President of Oregon Farm Bureau Federation. Oregon Farm Bureau and Agriculture has a vested interest in a broad-based and rational, common-sense Water Resources Commission. I think it's unfortunate that those positions, some have been unfilled for a number of years. From what I've seen of the folks here today and what I know of many of them, it appears to be a well-balanced representation of both groundwater, surface water, environmental, and municipal interests, as well as agriculture. I would urge all of you to consider this as a good start to a good appointment to a good Water Resources Commission, and would urge your votes for each of those individuals. Thank you very much. Be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for this panel? Thank you. Appreciate you joining us. Anybody else wishing to testify on the Water Resources Commission? We will probably move forward on these appointments next week, assuming there's support in the committee to do so. We've been letting our appointments simmer for a week or so after we hear them. So, any other business to come before the committee? Bill introductions. Okay. I'm going to close the public hearing on executive appointments and open a work session on consideration of legislative concepts for drafting and introduction. We have three. Okay. The chair would move the following bill drafts that we would redraft and introduce as a Senate measure: House Bill 2319, that we would redraft and introduce House Bill 2318, and that we would draft the bill to be introduced by the Senate Rules Committee that would address the murder of a pregnant woman. Any discussion? Any objection? And since Senator Atkinson's not here, I don't have to do the caveats. and drafting and introduction of those three measures. No discussion, no objection, so ordered. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Now you got to go to caucus, you guys.
Thanks, pal.
Well, you asked for it, you guys. Oh, we need to caucus more.
Can you adjourn the committee?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah. Thank you.
Ted will sit here.